This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:36 a.m. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar with Wong Xiaoning. Now, in half an hour, we have the breakfast grill. And Xiaoning, when was the last time you had a root beer float?
A long, 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 long time ago, even though I do love it.
Maybe it's time to treat yourself. And today on the breakfast grill, I'm actually going to be speaking to Kevin Basner, global CEO of A&W Restaurants. So in Malaysia, A&W has ambitious plans to double its present store count in Malaysia to 150 by 2025 in a bid to become one of the largest quick service restaurant chains in the country. But can it compete with newer brands entering the market amid cost pressures in the global economy? I think in the past 2 years, we've seen names like Taco Bell, Shake Shack, Jollibee.
Shake Shack hasn't come yet.
Okay,
please do
still
come,
hoping,
though.
Fingers crossed. But yes, I'll be speaking to Kevin on worldwide performance trends and also what they're planning on their Malaysian expansion.
Is Ruti coming as well?
that would be a treat. Actually, if Ruti the Bear were to come in studio.
Yeah, I mean, I was very fascinated with Ruti when I was a kid. And I still am, you know, in a funny way. He kind of just looks so cute.
All right. Well, stay tuned for that conversation on The Breakfast Grill today after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. We are now shifting our attention, though, to China's $6 trillion U.S. dollar retail market. Last year, China saw one of its slowest years of economic growth, expanding at a mere 3%, with retail sales even decreasing by 0.2% for the year.
But ever since Beijing abruptly ended most COVID-19 controls in December last year, hopes have been high that Chinese consumers will spend with a vengeance and provide a much-needed boost to the world's second largest economy. This anticipation also comes as data shows that households in China are sitting on top of the largest pool of new savings in history, having amassed $2.6 trillion of bank deposits in the last year alone.
So with the zero COVID policy firmly in the rearview mirror, have Chinese consumers returned for revenge shopping? For some insights, we speak to Catherine Lim, senior analyst at Bloomberg Intelligence. Good morning, Catherine. Thanks very much for joining us. Now, many are expecting consumption to be the main driver of China's GDP this year. In the first few months since its reopening, are we seeing revenge spending from Chinese consumers as expected? And how sustainable is this bounce in consumption?
Hi, good morning. And in terms of the consumption that we have seen so far, I would say that we've seen sequential incremental spending from the Chinese consumers since February. It's turning out actually slower than what most people have expended. And we're not really up to the 2022 levels, i.e. before the COVID flare-ups that we have seen in the last 9 to 12 months in China. So again, the good news is that, you know, we are seeing the improvements, and we do expect that, you know, over the next couple of months, you're going to see a higher spending from the Chinese consumers into the summer holidays and through the rest of the year.
So let's look at things from a big picture perspective, right? I mean, what incentives then do you expect the government to roll out in order to spur domestic consumption for the rest of the year?
I think there's been a lot of talks about, jobs creation, higher wages. The incentives that we have seen from Beijing is a little less, outright, like what you have seen perhaps in Hong Kong, for instance, whereby, you know, you actually had direct cash give outs to actually spur consumption. In China, you do actually get vouchers, but that's more of a, spend more, you get more discount kind of promotion and less of a cash rebate. But overall, I do actually see the different provinces offering such benefits, to actually just stimulate the overall spending within the country for the rest of the year.
Catherine, can I just ask what accounts for, I guess, tepid consumer sentiment, even though the economy has largely reopened?
Sorry, can I get that question again?
Why are consumers not spending as much as anticipated? What's holding them back?
Right. I think the overall scheme of things, do again bear in mind that, you know, the country has actually just set a fairly modest 5% GDP growth target this year, signaling that, you know, the overall push towards business pickup, etc., will probably be less intense as what people had expected last year, whereby I think the overall expectations was for a much stronger GDP growth and push from the government. So I think that is where the pace of the economy and where businesses will track for the rest of the year. You know, there's a lot of, again, uncertainties across the world that we have seen, and notwithstanding over the last 2-3 weeks, we've actually seen the fallout, you know, into the US banking sector. So I think it's probably, you know, a look and see kind of attitude that most of the businesses, as well as the consumers themselves, are actually taking at this point in time. Hence, you know, the bit of that holdback and, you know, that not that leaps and bounds that, you know, most markets are expecting China to actually display.
Okay, but I mean, one of the government's initiatives have been, of course, common prosperity, and that's to drive, at least to reduce income inequality. Do you then see the newest batch of consumers actually coming from the less developed regions in China?
Well, yes. In fact, you know, even through COVID, the flare-ups that we've seen last year, we've continued to actually see strength in the rural areas. And of course, that is because we've seen a lot of the lockdowns in the higher tier cities, like Shanghai, you know, like Chengdu. So the consumption on the rural side, the lower tier cities, are actually still fairly stable. And of course, if you actually talk about, you know, the most rural side of things and fitting in common prosperities, there's definitely been the push by the government as well as the businesses to actually support or offer more support for the agricultural sector within China so as to actually boost the overall incomes for rural residents, which by and large, I would say that, you know, they are still fairly dependent on the agricultural sector within the country.
Okay, so among the companies that you cover, which ones have you noticed have actually changed their business model or at least adapting to actually reach out to these rural consumers?
Right. Now, one of the sectors that definitely stood out over the last, again, 9 to 12 months because of the COVID flare-ups was really, you know, the grocery, the delivery side of things, whereby, you know, they have actually reached out to actually facilitate the transfer of agricultural goods to the higher tier cities so as to actually provide and, you know, have a more seamless flow of things. Obviously, there were disruptions during the COVID, you know, flare-up periods. But I would say that that actually brought good for the sector in the sense that, you know, they've actually found a mechanism whereby they are able to actually link up the demand side from the higher tier cities with the rurals and the lower tier supplies. So we're actually seeing that actually coming through quite strongly.
Let's turn our attention to Alibaba. Last month, Alibaba shares rallied 6% after a massive earnings beat. What accounts for the surge in positive investor sentiment? Is this simply down to cost-cutting efforts?
Right. Interesting that you actually highlighted that because yesterday itself, you know, the stock was also outperformed the overall market, partly because, you know, there were talks that Jack Ma is now back in the country. And then, you know, it seems like, you know, the overall management sentiment, you know, could actually be on a positive trajectory. But going back to the fundamentals that you've actually highlighted, yes, you know, we have actually seen massive efforts by the company to actually control costs. They are not alone in this. A lot of the technology companies globally, as well as within China, they are looking to actually streamline operations. And perhaps I would say if we take a step back, the past 2 to 3 years of heavy investment and trying out new initiatives, I think we are past that phase. They now know better, the different companies, they now know better where their niche is, where their strength lies. And that is contributing to the efforts to actually control what I would call the excess cost from the last 2 to 3 years.
Meanwhile, Catherine, who stands to benefit from China's revenge spending when it does eventually happen?
Right. I would say that, you know, this year, 2023, the bricks and mortar companies will be in a better position to actually benefit from the revenge spending, largely because, again, the disruptions that we have seen last year. from physical traffic flow and the inclination to actually visit the physical stores. Now, structurally, I must, clarify that I do think that the online spending, digital purchases, they are here to stay, except that, this is a year whereby we face a low base from last year for physical stores. So, the way my view is that this year, the e-commerce, they might actually take a little bit of a backseat because of the inflated base from last year.
Is that why we are seeing Taobao actually record a drop in its earnings?
Well, earnings-wise, I would say that, that entire part of the business, the China commerce business, which actually groups together, the Taobao platform as well as the Tmall platform from Alibaba, you've actually seen, I would say, fairly resilient earnings. Revenue-wise, yes. We've actually continued to actually see their GMV declining on a year-on-year basis. And largely, part of that reason is also because of the structural shift towards live streaming platforms like Douyin, ByteDance Douyin, which is China's TikTok. We also have Kuaishou, Little Red Book notwithstanding. So there's a bit of a structural shift within just that e-commerce space itself from the traditional platforms to other live streaming platforms.
Catherine, thanks very much for speaking with us. That was Catherine Lim, Senior Analyst with Bloomberg Intelligence, giving us an overview of China's consumer sentiment, a little bit slower than expected in terms of retail spending post-zero COVID, but that's expected to ramp up towards the latter half of the year.
I have no doubt revenge spending will come. It's just a matter of time.
7:47 a.m. We're heading into some messages, and when we come back, we'll discuss government efforts to end dysfunctional monopolies in the economy. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.